Johnny Dollar.
Dollar?
That's right.
Oh, I thought I was calling Jimmy Valentine.
What?
Oh, I mean, I guess I should have.
All right, let's start all over again. Johnny Dollar.
Oh, hi, Johnny. This is Steve Porter.
Well, hi.
You know, down here in Savannah, Georgia, want a guarantee insurance?
Sure, I know. How are you, Steve?
Real good, Johnny, real good. How about yourself?
Fine. Now, what was that Jimmy Valentine bit?
Oh, yeah. You got the sandpaper already, Johnny?
The sandpaper?
Yeah, that's right. Use it on your fingertips. Come on down here and get in the act. May as well. Everybody else seems to be doing it. Well?
Ah, this is still Johnny Dollar.
Oh, come on now. We've been through all that.
I know, but until you start to make some sense. Steve?
Jimmy Valentine.
You said that.
Safecracker.
Yes, what about him?
Used to sandpaper his fingertips, make them tender, sensitive, so he could feel the tumblers drop when he worked on the combination of the
safe. I know that, Steve, but so what?
Well, if he weren't a purely fictional character, I think he'd settle down here in Savannah.
Safe-cracking jobs down there?
Oh, a whole rash of them, Johnny. Apparently all by the same man. The police haven't been able to get the tiniest lead on him.
But you have the mistaken idea that maybe I can.
What do you say, Johnny?
All right, Steve. I can try.
The CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Mono Guarantee Insurance Company office in Savannah, Georgia. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the safe at home matter. Expense account item 1, $5.50 for a cab out to Bradley Field. Item 2, $62.25 for a plane ticket. 4 hours after takeoff in Hartford, the big four-engine job circled over the charming old city of Savannah, Georgia. After setting down at Travis Field, item 3 is $3.50 for a cab into the Whitney Hotel. I parked my bags and walked to Steve Porter's office on Montgomery Street.
Johnny, it's mighty good to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you, Steve, but I don't get it.
Don't get what?
It's 3.5 years down here and still no Southern accent.
Oh, haven't had time. There'll be a couple of 100,000 people in this town one of these days, and I'll have to make sure they all have insurance. But about these safe jobs.
Tell me all, Steve.
Started 4 or 5 weeks ago at a small tobacco depot. Thursday night, the old tin box in the office was loaded down with a weekly payroll of $1,800. Friday morning, it sat there empty and wide open.
Old tin box, did you say?
Yeah, might as well have been. Actually, it was a big old-fashioned safe, solid steel.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a mark on it. So the police thought it might have been an inside job.
Naturally.
But when the lumber yard was hit a couple of nights later, then one of the bigger mills, then a fertilizer plant, then a whole string of stores.
You mean there's a slew of those old-fashioned jugs around this town?
Yeah, too many for my money.
And all of them were opened by use of the combination?
Uh-uh. Some of them were blown.
Oh?
Very obviously by a pro. That's why the police gave up the inside idea.
And no clues at all?
Uh-uh. Nary a one. They've been the cleanest jobs you ever heard of. As far as I was concerned, it just made interesting reading in the papers. Until night before last, when Beck's jewelry store was knocked over.
How much of a loss?
Couple of thousand in cash and over 180,000 worth of precious stones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a list of it, Steve?
Yeah, here you are. A complete description. Weight, color, quality, value of every gem in the lot. Fortunately for us, or rather for himself, old man Beck kept an up-to-the-minute inventory.
Mm-hmm. Was there much taken besides what was in the safe?
Not a thing. That's been true, incidentally, of all these jobs.
How many have there been?
17, last count.
Mm.
Most of them, of course, whoever did it, took only money.
Well, at least the gems will be easier to identify than a lot of paper money. Tell me, what sort of police force do you have here in Savannah?
One of the best. And, Johnny, they've alerted every known fence this side of the Atlantic.
Of course, if this crook has taken a lot of cash.
And he has, believe me, hundreds of thousands.
Well, then he can afford to sit on those stones until everybody forgets about him.
Or, if he's as smart as he appears to be, he can haul them out of the country. Now, as long as old man Beck was hit only night before last, why don't you go on over and see him, huh?
Have the police already wrapped up their investigation?
Yeah. He went over his place with a fine-tooth comb. Even dragged in some expert, I understand.
Well, maybe I better see them first, hmm?
Oh, whatever you like. Talk to Lieutenant Eustace Farnwell. He promises complete cooperation.
Okay.
Knows all about you. Almost a fan, I might say, Johnny. And he figures if you can't crack this thing, nobody can.
I hope he's right.
And Johnny, I make no bones about it. This thing has gotten me going off my nut. And if you can find the answer, I'll be the most gratefulest man you ever did see.
Well, tell me this, Lieutenant.
Only it's Eustace. They call me Huey.
Okay, Huey. Tell me, have you run down the list of known safe men in the area?
Even the list that covers the whole country. That's one of the first things the old Sarge did.
Who's the old Sarge?
Sergeant Teed. Used to be on the force in burglary. He retired a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the chief brought him back, deputized him to give us a hand with this man.
Teed, hmm?
Yeah. Best man this side of the Mississippi, if you ask me. Knows more about safes and safe men and the way they operate.
Wait a minute. Rufus Teed?
That's the one.
Oh, of course.
Sure. Don't you remember about that youngster up in Richmond got stuck inside a fur vault? Well, it was the old Sarge that got her out. Only man in the country could have done it.
Sure, I remember reading about that and about him. He's the one who solved that string of safe jobs up in Boston a few years ago.
That's right. And over in New Orleans, too. And up in Chicago. All over the country, they've sent for him. Because, Johnny, like I say, old Sarge knows more about jug operators and their habits and their methods than anybody else in the country. That's the reason the chief called him back from retirement to help us out.
Smart move.
Sure. Except that so far, all he's gotten himself and us is just exactly nowhere. So, I guess it's up to you.
Well, I've only got one thing to say, Huey.
Yes, sir?
You better wish me luck. Since old Sergeant Rufus Teed, dragged out of retirement, was now the key man, I figured I'd better contact him as quickly as possible. Lieutenant Huey Barnwell gave me his address, and item four is $50 deposit on a rental car. The neat and tidy cottage far out on Lathrop Avenue near the edge of the river looked exactly right for the home of a retired bachelor cop. White clapboard, with a shingle roof trimmed in green, a white picket fence protecting a lush, well-kept flower garden in the front. But in the back was one of the strangest sights I have ever seen. There, piled one on top of the other, were a couple of dozen old safes.
Yes, sir, Miss Johnny. Those are my souvenirs and some of the cases that I cracked while I was on the force.
See.
Now, this little safe, or rather, I should say the set of prints I found onto it, took me right straight to handsome Harry Hartford after he cracked it for the Rubicon Diamond.
Oh, I remember that case well, Sergeant. And you certainly nailed him in a hurry.
Thank you, Mr. Johnny. And this one helped me run down Ricky Lafferty. Kind of I knew that nobody else but him would use a diamond drill to put a TNT charge under the middle hinge on a box.
That one was out in Ohio, wasn't it?
Dayton, Ohio, back in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
Lafferty always said nobody'd live to take him, but I took him all right. And he was the one that got hurt. Yes, sir. Every one of these old boxes got a story on to
it. Well, tell me, how come you've got them stacked up in the yard this way?
Well, sort of pride, I guess.
Pride?
Yeah, they'd always want to give me a reward, but being on the force, I couldn't take any money, so... Well, they had no business keeping these easy old boxes around, keeping valuable stuff in them anymore. So I kind of figured I'd kind of build myself a monument out of them. I know that nobody else would ever be a building up a monument to an old coot like me.
I know what you mean.
But I just never got around to piling them up pretty like. So now they're just rusting away out here.
Well, I'd say they're a pretty good monument to a successful career, just as they are.
And I guess they'll still be standing long after I'm gone.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I'm pushing right close to 60, Miss Johnny.
Wow, I never believed that. Anyway, let's get to these recent cases here in Savannah.
Yeah. Come on inside the house, Miss Johnny, and I'll tell you what little I'll find out.
All right.
It sure ain't much, though. I swear I never have run into one like this. It's on account of the pattern, too.
How do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, I mean because a man either blows a safe or he's a combination man.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's been doing it both ways. And this Johnny, I thought I knew them all the good ones, that is. Knew all about them, knew all their tricks. But this one ain't even leaving any trademark that I can see. Now, just put that handbag aside and sit down, and I'll show you the one thing I have found.
All right, I'll just... Oh, holy smoke, what have you got in this bag?
Oh, just a microscope and cameras and fingerprint equipment and some of the other stuff I used to use.
Oh, I see.
You see another bag there in the back of the sofa?
Yeah?
All my clothes and things. Don't look like I'm going to be using them now, though, does it?
How do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, till all this trouble come along, I was all ready for going on a nice long trip. Maybe Europe, maybe South America, all over.
You were, hmm?
Saving up for it all my life. Saving up my pension, too. Of course, being a bachelor, it wasn't too hard to save a little now and then. And all my life, I looked for the time when I could travel. But wouldn't you know it, as soon as I got ready to go, all this trouble started.
So you've called off your trip, huh?
Like I told the chief, Miss Johnny, I don't set my foot out of Savannah until I found the safe job. No, sir. I won't let the chief down after all these years.
Good for you. Now, you said you found something.
Yes, sir. And here, I'll show you.
More of those old safes?
A couple of the good ones. I just didn't want to rust away. Keep my own things in them. Like in this little one, I keep my files and whatever evidence. Here we are. Now, you see these two pictures I took, then made enlargements?
Footprints, huh?
Yes, sir. The only sign of evidence I've found so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one pair's from in front of the safe at the paper mill, and one from that jewelry store that was cracked night before last.
Mm-hmm. These footprints appear to have been made by a pair of sneakers.
Yeah, and you see here, the sole on the right-hand one has this funny little cut onto it.
Yeah, I see that.
But doggone, Miss Johnny, all the else I've found is nothing. Not very much of that. No fingerprints, no tool marks that could be identified. Not even... Well, you know, sir, this man been even using some kind of explosive I never have seen before.
You've analyzed the residue from it?
Yes, sir, but no luck. Even the big lab over in Atlanta's had no luck. Not so far, that is. Miss Johnny, I sure hope you come up with something.
So do I, but frankly, at this point, I'm not very optimistic. Now, do you want to start with the first of these jobs, Sergeant? Give me the whole story.
Yes, sir.
During the next 4 hours, old Sergeant Teague gave me a complete, and I mean complete, rundown. He knew his business, too, and the sort of men that he had to deal with. No question about that. And reminiscing now and then, he told me about tricks of the safecracker's trade that I never even dreamed of, but that he had often exposed to get his man. As for his files, he had pictures, fingerprints, and copious notes on every safe man who'd operated over the past 40 years. But on this one...
Nothing, Miss Johnny. Except in these pictures I got of his footprints.
And you certainly can't check every pair of sneakers in the whole state of Georgia.
Yeah, that's for sure. And this pair probably burned up or sunk in the river by now. But if you think I'm giving up, well, I'm not, sir. And if you're as good a man as I hear you are, well, Miss Johnny, I'm just hoping you'll stay around and help me.
You can count on that, Sergeant. But it's getting late, and it's been a long day. Now, you know where to reach me, and if anything breaks or you get any ideas, I hope you'll call me.
You can count on that. And why don't you have the boys at headquarters put you on the call list?
Good idea. I'll do that. I drove on back to the hotel, parked the car, and then walked to headquarters. I walked because I wanted time to think. To think about the 101 details of the robbery that old Sarge had given me. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that... Well, why kid about it? The science of deduction, I'm afraid, is highly overrated. I don't care what the mystery stories say. Until you can actually get your hands on some tangible clue, until some really solid lead comes along...
I tell you, Johnny, old Sarge would be the first to spot it. But right now, we just got nothing to go on.
Except those footprints.
Well, yeah. But it's obvious those sneakers were pretty old. So they might have come from anywhere in the whole United States.
And you got any idea how many pair of that brand of sneakers in that size have been sold over the past 10 years?
No,
well,
but I imagine plenty.
I have. Because I found out. Over 2.5 million from coast to coast. So, until we get a break, and maybe that means another safe or two busted open. Well, if it happens, Johnny, I'll call you.
Yeah, you do that.
The same time as I call old Sarge onto the job. And if the two of you together can't work something out...
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Maybe we have.
Yes, sir.
Maybe old Sarge doesn't know it either, Huey, but maybe we have.
Well, have what, Johnny?
Worked out something together. By the time I'd walked back to the Whitney Hotel, I was sure of it. By the time I got upstairs to my room... Well, what happened as I opened the door was all the convincing I needed. I'm the luckiest man alive, because I had the door of my hotel room only half open when that bomb went off inside. So all it did was slam the door against me and knock me across the corridor. Pretty badly shaken up, but that's all. By the time Lieutenant Huey Barnwell and his boys arrived, I was comfortably ensconced in another room, and I must confess I was perfectly content to lie still for a change and rest my aching bones.
Don't you worry, Johnny. We'll find out who did this if it's the last thing we do. Now, you sure you're okay?
Oh, sure, Huey. I'm feeling fine.
Yeah, well, you look it. But now, listen to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear it must have been the safe man who somehow found out you came down here.
I don't think there's any question of that.
And the old Sarge is in there looking over that room. Or I should say, what's left of it. And he seems to think he can pin this down pretty quick.
I'm sure he can.
But now I'd better get back and give him a hand. Now, if there's anything you want, Johnny...
Just shove the phone over to where I can reach it, will you?
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Thanks.
Well, I'll see you later.
Right. My call was to Boston. To a strange little character with the unlikely name of Smokey Sullivan. Ex-arsonist, burglar, con man, just about anything you can think of. Since going straight, he'd been a lot of help to me on more than one important case, and his knowledge of the underworld, its people, and their methods was second to none.
Okay, Johnny, whatever you say. Yeah, but I sure hope it's all right.
If it doesn't turn out the way I think it will, I'll be the one to take the rap. But don't you worry, Smokey.
Yeah?
I have a sneaking suspicion the police are going to love us dearly after we pull this job they wouldn't dare approve beforehand.
I sure hope you're right.
So grab whatever tools and equipment you may need and get on down here,
Well, it might take me a while to get a hold of that kind of stuff, Johnny.
But you do the best you can. Then give me a call, hop on a plane, and I'll meet you at the airport, okay?
Yeah.
Good. It was late the following day by the time Smokey finally telephoned that he was on his way. Almost too late, because shortly after 10:30 p.m., as I was about to leave my hotel room to meet him... Johnny Dollar.
You were Barnwell, Johnny.
Yeah.
Another safe job.
Where?
Excello Sugar Company, north edge of town. One of my boys in the prowl car saw a light inside. But by the time he got to it, whoever did it was gone. And, of course, the jug was empty.
You've called in the old Sarge.
He's on his way right now. I'll see you out there at the sugar plant. Okay?
Don't bank on it.
What?
I said don't bank on it. Now, figure it out, Smokey.
Yeah?
Only 3 people know that I'm here and know why. Steve Porter at the insurance company, Lieutenant Huey Barnwell, and the old Sarge.
Yeah, so one of them must have set that bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
For being able to pull these jobs so cleverly and without any possible suspicion. And listen.
Yeah?
Those handbags, still packed. Don't forget them.
Just the same, Johnny.
Well?
Well, I sure hope you're right.
We'll soon find out. There's really little more to this case. For Smokey, getting into that little cottage was a cinch. He had the tools for it and the know-how. And when he went to work with a drill and TNT on the big safe inside, the one the old Sarge hadn't opened when I was there before...
Yeah. And look, Johnny, inside of it.
Yeah, Smokey. I bet those gems will all check out against the list that Steve gave me.
But this set of tools like the ones I brung along and... oh, my, Johnny. I never saw so much cash money in my life.
Enough for him to get himself lost anywhere in the world, he thought.
The old Sarge, huh?
The one person who might have been able to get away with an operation like this, who by working with the police would know the minute that he was in any danger, who could then give up on the case and leave town supposedly on that trip he planned, and nobody be any the wiser.
He thought.
That's right. Well, he's going to have plenty of time to think better of it in the pen. I must say, I hand it to Lieutenant Huey Barnwell because he'd started thinking when I told him on the phone that I wouldn't appear at the sugar plant. As a result, when the old Sarge came back to his cottage, found Smokey and me there, and pulled a gun on us, Huey was right behind him. Expense account total, including Smokey's transportation, plus a little extra for him, $341 even. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next week, a far too ingenious method for murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr., musical supervision by Ethel Huber. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Sam Gray as Old Sarge, Leon Janney as Lieutenant Huey Barnwell, Eugene Francis as Steve Porter, and Robert Dryden as Smokey Sullivan. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.